I have not been to the chicken guy yet. Oh, of course, that's the first thing recorded.
That's going to be in there now. That's going to be the intro segment.
Yay, Guy Fieri.
Welcome to the Park Stop Podcast, episode 9. My name is Alicia Stella. What?
I was going to say, you're about to lose it.
Because you talked.
You were already giggling.
My name is Alicia Stella, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian.
Hey kids, I guess we're just going forward with this.
Oh yeah, this is it now. Today we have a special guest, Derek Bergen, co-host of the E-Ticket Report and author of the Saturday Six series.
I'm also the leading blogger of the new Margaritaville Water Park. Welcome to Selfie Stick Falls, coming this August.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's going to be like that.
I don't understand. Like this, okay, let's jump into the news and let's just start with that, even though it's not in the show notes. Can anyone explain this?
Let's take the one brand known for relaxing and getting away from the hubbub and hustle of technology by basing a water park entirely around social media. outlet store reports, I often write that I wish I could be in pitch meetings for some of the awful merchandise that Disney has, just to hear what was the basis and how people could approve it down the chain of command. And I really would have loved to be in the Margaritaville meeting where somebody was seriously promoting these ridiculous ideas and nobody apparently stood up and said, this is insane, and no one sees it. Well, I'm glad it happened. I mean, this is fantastic because you never would have believed this could be true.
Wait, so
what about the floating bar? You're gonna get strapped in and get drunk and then just be left in the air. This is gonna go well, right? It's a good idea.
Is it okay? So hashtag Heights is a family tube ride. Follow me falls. Retweet racers. The private domain, that's the best. Private domain is the adult leisure pool.
Oh my
and
God.
the tag shack is the bar. So has no one listened to a Jimmy Buffett song at Margaritaville?
Oh my God.
The good news is no one's gonna go to this anyway.
Nope.
They did. They're gonna be very disappointed.
I wrote I took 30 seconds to write out my own names. I got Lost Shaker of Salt Slide, Cheeseburger in Paradise Falls, Island Fever Wave Pool, It's 5 o'clock Somewhere Adult Pool, and The Dreams Float Lazy River. You see that? I know 3 songs by this man, and I wrote names that make sense.
Apparently, the resort found out, like Disney, that Universal has all Margaritaville IP locked up east of the Mississippi after they made their water park.
Well, the next best option is slang that'll be outdated from Twitter in the next 2 years. Of course. Okay, so moving on to other news. Just a couple days ago, the Hagrid coaster, which is what we're going to call it because we don't have enough time to say the name over and over again, was testing with real people. They were all sitting on the sidecar side, but they were real, actual human beings and not like test dummies. Did any of you see this one little clip on Twitter?
Yes, I did.
I just wanted to mention, I thought that was cool. Maybe we're, you know, inching closer and closer to actually, I mean, they've been revealing the creatures every day this week when we're recording. Yep. So, you know, we're getting closer to actual opening. So it's getting exciting.
No, I'm trying to think what Friday's creature going to be. Is it going to be the outraged fan after the Dumbledore Grindelwald intense relationship news that was released this year? We'll try to guess which creature that comes out tomorrow.
And of course, we're recording this on a Thursday night, but it probably won't see the light of day till Monday or Tuesday.
Patreon guests will know tomorrow. Regular listeners will know in a week.
Yep, exactly.
Don't knock the system. It works. It's only because it takes me too long to actually edit the video. Blast Ended Scroot. I don't know if you're being serious, but Blast Ended Scroot is tomorrow's announcement.
I'm not surprised. They need to just, I'm surprised it wasn't one of the first things.
Well, I'm surprised they're announcing the one thing that's special about like the ride that's never been in the movie. Like you think they want to keep that a secret. But then again, maybe when people go on the ride, they'd be like, what is that? So this way they'll know beforehand.
The unicorn's never been in the movie, right?
Yeah, the unicorn was in the movie.
Wasn't
it? It was dead.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Way back in one.
It had
right?
silver blood.
Yep, first one. First one? Mm-hmm. First one.
Yeah, no, so it'd be nice to see one actually standing.
Will they be selling that unicorn blood? That now there we go. Now we have some merchandise opportunities. I forgot all about that. Wow.
Here, kids, play with this mercury.
Or just jump out and get your own out of the unicorn.
Oh, God.
It's not a zoo.
Speaking of Universal, The Secret Life of Pets Off the Leash has been officially announced for Universal Studios Hollywood, opening in 2020, just like we said in the last episode.
Huh, you got something right?
Well, as people have been saying, the podcast holds magical powers, and if we say things on it, if we say things on it, it will come true, usually the day after it comes out.
So originally this was supposed to be a little bit of a more upgraded kind of ride, like trackless and all that stuff, but now it's just a people mover and all that kind of stuff.
What's funny is the name makes it sound like it's still trackless. Like they kept the old name that they were going to use. Off the Leash to me sounds like it was going to be a trackless ride. Yep. But they specifically said in the press release that you'll zip along a track. It says you'll zip along a track. So it's like they're admitting, hey, it's not trackless. Don't get your hopes up.
So Omnimover it is.
Yeah. Except it won't. I don't think it'll turn left and right. So it's not even technically an Omnimover. It's more like a train of nonstop vehicles.
Hey, whatever. Some of those characters can probably hold it up. We'll see.
Continuous belt RV system, we'll call it.
We could use some of those down here.
Yeah.
It's going to have like animatronics and screen backgrounds, but not like all screens. So I would love for them to tear down Shrek 4D and replace it with this one day.
Yes, please. Shrek's time to go. My opinion, but yeah, I agree with Derek, and I think we said that a lot too. They need more dark rides in the Universal parks, just even for a break for me.
And yeah, and for kids to have something to do.
Kids schmids, you know. I don't have any of those.
Okay, for us to do in between all of the other thrill rides.
Yeah, after I drink or something, I need something to chill out.
They definitely need more attractions that everyone in the whole family can kind of enjoy together. So whether it's appealing to the bloggers or not, they're definitely lacking in the rides that both the grandmother and the grandchild can go on with the parents and the teenagers and stuff.
Yeah.
Not that every ride needs to be like that, but Universal, I think, needs to start getting more of those. I mean, as much as I love the Hagrid coaster and the Jurassic Park coaster is going to be great. They kind of need a couple more things like this. Because it seems like they're clearly targeting the family crowd everywhere else in the resort. But the rides they're making, they're still kind of more going after a different demographic, which is surprising. This seems like this is what they need, especially with this is another merchandise bonanza with cute pets and stuff like that. I mean, it's just a great IP to have in a theme park world.
Yeah, definitely.
And with the story around pet adoption, you know, at the exit, they're going to be like, adopt, and I'm using air quotes, adopt a pet today. And it's like, maybe it'll be Build-A-Bear and you design your own pet. Wouldn't that be great?
Or maybe if they want to put Nintendo over in USF, they'll have the animal actors. Literally, you can take them home with you.
That would be dangerous for me. That would be so dangerous for me.
You need a pug dressed in a suit.
Oh my God, that'd be so dangerous for me.
They don't have the orangutan anymore, do they?
No, I'm going for the bird that takes money out of people's hands.
There you go.
Oh, that's a good investment. It'll make back its money in no time.
Probably by the time you leave that day.
So speaking of Hollywood, there was just a commercial for Jurassic World, The Ride, the first actual advertisement, and it showed a little tiny 4-second clip at the end, although I think it's entirely CG and maybe not real at all, but it definitely showed a section of the ride with the Mosasaur tank, and it's a screen.
Shocker? I don't know.
Ooh. Well, it's exactly what we described in the last episode.
Yeah.
It looks like the underwater viewing area, even though that part of the ride you go up before you go into that tunnel. So we'll be going up to look at an underwater viewing area.
What'd you guys think of the commercial? I mean, Disney kind of had the best commercial year with their little duck thing. That was really cool and cool. And I think Universal
it's a contender for that.
Away from that, because this was awesome and unexpected. I had no idea what was going on. And then it was like, oh, wow, this is a theme park.
That was like commercial. An all hands on deck commercial.
Yeah, it was
everyone
fun.
Everyone is involved.
It was super fun. I like the mummy mummy guy follow up. That was cool too. Little tag on there, a little separate video.
Yeah, and the CG of it breaking through the arch looked better than the movies. It was good.
Yeah, I think it'll be all right.
That's another thing. Well, it looked, we were talking about technology that hasn't been used on a ride before. I wonder, there's this technology where you project onto glass and then the glass can actually open up. I wonder if they're going to have the glass, like when the Mosasaur smacks into it, actually crack open and spray you to really give an effect of the glass breaking. Maybe the glass will actually break.
Universal without spraying in the face with water. That'd be very unexpected.
Yeah, they never.
Yeah, happens. No, it's new for them. It's a departure from their usual.
If you want new technology, let me talk to you about the Margaritaville Water Park, which is going to have cameras set up in some of the rides, which will take pictures of you and automatically post them on your social media.
Great. Wait, really?
Yes.
Thanks.
Oh, what? You're being serious?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going there.
No, I guess nobody is, but if you do, they will automatically post photos on your social media for you.
Awesome.
Wait, this Thank is you. For real? I yeah. can't tell if you're kidding.
Yeah. No, that's total serious. I am the leading vlogger of Margaritaville Water Park.
Nothing sounds more relaxing to me than being on guard to have photos automatically posted of me on my vacation without my permission.
Water park photos, not even theme park photos.
Yeah.
This whole deal with all the drinks. Everybody look sober, quick. The Jurassic World thing, though, in the commercial, I like that it looks like the boat shifts, like the thud of the Mosasaur looks like it pushes you somehow. That looks kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's trying to like give the impression that you're about to be doused with thousands of gallons of water when the thing breaks, so it bumps your boat along, which is maybe that patent we were talking about with the pinball flippers.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I'm hoping that actually happens, because like, I think that's going to scare the crap out of people if the Mosasaur, it's just a screen, but then all of a sudden the screen cracks open and water starts spraying out. That would be pretty impressive.
I'm in for this.
Because we have a weird magical podcast, I have some requests from Twitter to mention. Let's talk about maybe, yes, definitely, they're adding a dinosaur diorama to Magic Kingdom's train. If I say it, it'll come true, right?
Oh, man. Here we go. We're trying.
We're going to add the Horizons robot butler to Guardians of the Galaxy at Epcot. Maybe put it in the queue. And someone keeps asking to bring Jaws back. And I'm sorry, but Universal never bring Jaws back. I can't. Even the Magical Podcast can't bring that back. All right. Oh. So what else do I got written down here?
You got Big Fire.
Big Fire. What did the logo say? I don't have it in front of me.
I have no idea.
The original patent was for Big Fire Grill.
Grill.
And then at the last minute, they changed it to just Big Fire.
Are they being sued by somebody who came to them with Big Fire Grill restaurant idea in 2008? This will be their logo should be Big Fire Grill when everything else is too busy.
Big Fire Grill, alcohol bar.
Twosome has a 90-minute wait. Come on over to Wilderness Lodge Lake Lakeside retreat with a fireplace when it's 90 degrees outside and
blankets,
flannel blankets.
Because everyone wants flannel blankets around a fire in Florida in July.
I would assume they dropped the grill because they already have NBC Sports Bar and Grill. Or is it Brew and Grill? I can never remember what
grill
they call
and brew,
that place.
I think.
No, grill and Brew. Right. Thank you. Yeah, because you want to grill it and then brew it after.
What?
I don't know.
I'm actually upset because we're in the same month that the media was all invited to Jaleo in Disney Springs, and the Disney media are all gaga about one table on a foosball, and it's like NBC Grill has had these gimmick tables the whole time. It just doesn't get the attention really from the theme park blogosphere.
Does the NBC Grill and Brew still have a gigantic banana cake or whatever?
No, they got rid of that.
That, then what's the point?
I don't.
Once they close it down,
there was no point once they took NASCAR Grill Cafe away. But
now
there's definitely no point in going there.
I just found it. It's Big Fire American Fair.
What?
That's what it says on the sign. That's what the new trademark says in the logo. So like the sign on the actual building says Big Fire American Fair. In case you didn't know what kind of food you'd find there, it's American.
Hot dogs on a stick over a fire. Yeah. S'mores.
I was going to say, what is it, like Big Fire and they serve shawarma? Like, how is that a surprise?
It's, well, bison burgers. Nothing more all-American than eating buffaloes.
Buffaloes are delicious.
They have, I don't know, there's that picture of a giant steak, and I'm like, okay, this should be like the main logo right here. Ooh. Big Fire, eat this giant steak.
Do I get anything if I eat it? I'm pretty good at those.
The great outdoors?
I'm pretty good at those.
That's what they should have done. It should be a great outdoors, like John Candy themed restaurant.
Oh, it'd be so good. That's so much better.
They're alleging there's like an area for families to play games. And I mean, you guys have been in that, the old restaurant, and then just the area now. What are they talking about?
Well, it's a two-story building, and every time I went in Emeralds, they were not using all the seats. So, you know, there is that second story.
Starting to sound a lot like Cracker Barrel.
It does. Here's your little peg game. Barrel,
that's the problem. And they're on fire. Universal at City Walk has been on fire with Vivo and Anahitos and Tusum, obviously.
Yep.
Red Oven's awesome. Cowfish is great. And then you just have this, and it's like, oh.
Well,
yeah, where we were.
This food better be really good.
I actually love things grilled over wood. I'm kind of a sucker for, and they have multiple woods, so like everything's paired with the correct wood for the perfect smoky flavor. I'm a sucker for that, so I'll eat there probably more than I will, you know, Vivo, and I could never get into Toothsome, so.
I'm cool with trying it. I just don't want to sit anywhere near a fire, and I really don't need a blanket. Thanks. I'm good.
They have a cozy fireplace with oversized plaid blankets.
No thanks.
There are 3 days a year in Florida where you could use that. So
this place is going to be packed 3 days out of the year.
You know, last time I was down there, it was kind of cold and rainy, and I wore shorts just because I was in Florida and I refused to wear pants the whole time. So
yeah, why even pack them?
Yeah, I didn't. And it was New Year's. We were there around New Year's last time. So it was great. It's nice and cold, and I just didn't care because I was not in Connecticut anymore.
All right. So we had some other news we're going to talk about in a later episode. There were new Halloween Horror Nights houses announced, and the Dark Arts show opened in Hollywood, which, by the way, people have been asking. It is coming to Orlando. They haven't set a date yet. They said later this year, the Dark Arts show, projection show. Before we move on, though, have you guys seen the video of the Patronus drone effect?
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
How cool is that?
That's absolutely really cool.
As unspectacular as our drone show was here at Disney Springs. I don't know if you guys saw that.
They made a bell and a dove.
And not even that good. And you had to be at that one perfect angle.
Yeah, I was gonna
anywhere
say.
Else. It looked, what is going on? They looked like they just completely nailed it. I mean, it's been years now. And technology just goes so fast.
Yeah. But,
I mean, this is something you would expect it from Disney. Just that high level. This is a Disney quality show that Universal Hollywood did. It's fantastic.
Yep. Yeah. And that brings me back to my old standby. I think Creative is severely hamstrung by Universal with the purse strings over there, because we've seen what they can do and we see what they're allowed to do. And there's a big difference in that.
Yeah. So if it's Harry Potter related, we kind of see the full scope of their capabilities.
Yep. And then you
and
get
Fast
and Furious.
And Furious.
If they own it. Yeah.
And then they're like, oh.
All right. So our main segment today, we're going to be talking about all of the changes happening now and coming in the future to Disney's Hollywood studios.
Oh boy.
Walt Disney World.
This is going to be a long talk.
We don't have to talk about everything that I put in the show notes, but you know, maybe breeze through a couple things, because there's a lot of changes happening short of changing the name of the park.
I thought it was called Cinemagic Studios now. What happened? You're saying they
didn't
change the name?
Cinemagic.
All those names are so horrible.
Cinemagic.
None of those names were good.
I can't even remember what the other ones were.
I blocked them.
Storybook or something?
I blocked them.
Disney's Intellectual Property Showcase.
There you go.
Welcome to Lucas Pixar Park.
Seriously, does anyone not call it MGM still?
Right, exactly.
I've just shortened it to DHS, so if they replace any of the words, it has to start with those same initials, because I can't unprogram that from my brain now.
That's what MGM is for me.
But if you go in the morning when they play the welcome announcement, they say, "Welcome to your Hollywood adventure." And I'm like, I think that's a better name for the park. Disney's Hollywood Adventure.
Yeah.
Maybe we should call it that. They've painted over everything that was a studio. They took down all the words that said Studio 1, Studio 13. They're all taken down off the tops of the building. So there is no studios left. They don't film anything there.
Disney's Hollywood Adventure. Oh, boy.
It's like California Adventure, except more California.
Yeah.
It's more California Adventure than actual California Adventure. So the parking lot's got new signs, and I only wanted to mention this because I got photos I want to show in the visual version.
Do you like the new ones with the characters? Because I thought it was pretty cool how they had that, the old one with the television, and music and stuff like that. It was just so different compared to the rest of your average Disney park. I liked how it stood out.
I liked them too.
I mean, I liked them, but at the same time, they would still call them like Donald Television and Goofy Stage and Mickey Film. Like without a character, people just don't remember. Like, I think Epcot's probably picture. Epcot. We're still in Create and Amaze and Discover. And that's like, they say you're in D. Like they don't even say the word. So I think people will remember Jesse and Buzz and BB-8 better.
Probably. I won't. I'll just take a picture.
I like that all the bloggers were like, BB-8 is by Star Wars. BB-8 is by Star Wars.
Oh, man. Some geniuses going on over there.
I thought it was weird that Olaf was there. It took me like 10 minutes of hard concentration to remember. Oh, yeah. They have the Frozen sing-along show.
Yeah,
they had Frozen summer there. Was it last year? Come on, Alicia.
Last year? It was like 10 years ago.
I know. I was going to say, I think I saw the signs for that when I was there last. And that was like a year ago.
That had Olaf on a stick.
Oh, man. Yeah, these names are weird for characters.
But when I think of, Olaf and Frozen, I think of, although they don't actually have an Olaf character in Epcot.
I think of World Showcase.
Yeah, it's where it belongs.
Can we start like the online petitions that work so well and replace Olaf with DJ Rex? That'd be more fun.
Yeah, because they only have one Star Wars. They have Mickey, Minnie, Jesse, and Buzz, which I think are an item. And then Olaf and BB-8. They should be BB-8 and DJ Rex, because that's logical.
Everything should be DJ Rex, right? That's what you think.
Right.
That's the parking lot for the Star Wars hotel. They get the good characters.
Ah. What's the new droid from the new movie? The one that looks like a weird dog ball.
Probably BB-9. I think they've ran out of cool names.
The weird
Dio.
Dog ball.
Is it Dio? I think it's Dio. If I'm wrong, I'm going to dub over it the right thing.
I'm going to dub over it. That's cheating. That's cheating.
I never have done that. I always say that, but I never do it. So I just went to the park to get B-roll for this very cause. And walking from... Okay, the tram comes up. And the cast member there tells everyone in the parking lot, don't get on the tram. It's not worth it. They said it's going to drop you off right there. And it will take you longer to take this tram than to walk the next, 20 feet over that way. But I'm like, why are you running it then? What's the point? Because they haven't finished building the tram loop. So, and I wasn't even in like the first television lot area. I was in the second lot, whatever they call it now. So it's a long walk going from parking past all of the construction and craziness, and they're building a new security booth, hopefully with X-ray machines.
I have heard nothing about that. I don't see that coming, unfortunately. That'd be too helpful to get. Allegedly, Disney's way is, I don't know how this can be possible, is more thorough. Which I find it hard to believe that, but that is.
Oh, that's why all airports do it, exactly. Right? Oh, no, wait. They use X-ray machines.
Every place, any sporting event. Exactly.
It feels archaic to have someone rooting around in my purse. It's weird. It's like, how can you do that for like thousands of people every single day, go through every single backpack, diaper bag, purse, fanny pack to like, look, okay. It's weird you could just put it through an X-ray machine and in a split second go, no guns, no knives.
I used to do security for concerts, and there's definite things that you need to see for yourself instead of putting it through an X-ray machine. And I will keep my comments about the TSA and the X-ray machines to myself.
An X-ray machine can't catch loose ice, so they found a loophole in your ideas. Oh,
you're right. Well, all I know is I go to Universal, and it takes me 8 seconds. I timed it to walk through security. I go to Epcot, and it takes me 40 minutes. So
it's night and day. It's such a bad show going through Disney security. It just, like, ruins your morning.
First thing of the day, here, let's wait in line for someone to root through your bags.
When they check the bags, are they still using the sticks instead of their hands?
I'm more aggravated by this banal talk they try to chat the guests up. Like, just do your job and get us through here.
Where are you from? Where are you from?
That surprised me nuts.
Back in this line 20 minutes ago.
Oh, man.
And they're just trying to make their day a little bit better. Can you imagine looking through 1,000 bags and that's your day? I feel like there's a better use of their time.
It's the worst.
So,
yeah.
Well, if they're rebuilding the security to be more permanent, and we're saying it on the podcast, then it will come true that they will add x-ray machines.
I would take x-ray machines over a new ride, which they desperately need. That's how much it's needed.
That is, well, yeah, that is insane.
Universal is real fast. I don't know what Disney is slacking so much for. And there's a reason. When we go on trips, I just put everything. I wear purse pants, as I've heard them called recently. And I just stuff everything in my pocket so that we don't have to worry about the bag checks. It's way faster.
Well, Universal, you still have to go through
the metal detectors.
So you still have to dump out your whole pocket.
Yeah, but it's fast. That's much faster than someone going through a bag and then also dumping my pockets and taking belts.
Well, at Disney, you just walk right through. They only put like every 400th person through an x-ray machine or through a metal detector. Yep. So like, what kind of security is that when at least Universal, everyone gets through the metal detector, every bag goes through an x-ray. I actually feel safer than having... Well, every bag is checked, but barely anyone goes through the metal detector at Disney.
It's just a deterrent. That's all it really is at the end of the day.
Okay, so we're not only talking about rumors and changes, we're talking about a new attraction, a new headlining attraction on the front of the park map. That's right, Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy has opened to a huge fanfare and long lines. Right, Derek?
Yeah. Good seats still available. I think they're going to take the sign that advertised that Tiffin's is open for meals, and they're going to put Lightning McQueen. There's an attraction down here. Please come see it.
We will give you gift cards to come here.
It's weird because the only sign, I mean, of course, Sunset Boulevard has got a banner 30th anniversary with Cars characters on every single light post. But that doesn't actually have like an arrow pointing up and saying show this way. Maybe they should have done that. Yeah, because the first sign that actually says there's a show is after you've entered the courtyard for Rock and Roller Coaster. It's Sunset Theater or whatever, and there's an arrow after you've entered the courtyard. So unless you're going to the roller coaster that little kids would not be able to go on, little kids aren't going to find the car show hiding behind it.
Well, I mean,
drop ride.
yeah, that's true.
Convince the three-year-old. No, we just got to go down here.
I mean, that's the exact area I would think to go to for a Cars attraction.
Yeah, for a kid-friendly.
I remember Jack Sparrow's, I don't know what it was called, projection mapping test thing that they had to the left of One Man's Dream back in the day.
I remember that.
That thing had a long line, and it's a teeny tiny little room, and it was like 5 minutes, and they were kind of just testing out projection mapping. That's the location you put a car show. Not that they have the space, but, you know, Pixar Place, Toy Story Land, car show. Where it is now just doesn't make sense.
Could a Cars attraction go in an area called Pixar Place? That kind of seems to be a natural fit.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
This is no time for logic, people. That's right. Sorry.
Now, I do like the show. I think it's a good show. It's 10 minutes long. It's got a lot of seating.
Alicia, can I just follow up that by saying you also like Pizza Rizzo?
Yeah.
Right? So she says that she likes this attraction, keep in mind she also likes Pizza Rizzo.
Horrible pizza.
And primeval world. Your back pocket.
Don't forget Primeval World. I also like everything that's awful.
No, man.
Dino Land USA is my favorite part of Animal
Kingdom. No, it's not. Get out of here.
I know. It's Pandora. Pandora and then Dinosaur.
So this is just going to, this is just their attempt to have something to eat people, right? Try and pull them away from Star Wars.
It was their attempt.
Yeah, that's a good point. It was their attempt.
But the car is so cool. The animatronic type thing. It's similar to like they have at Cars Land on the ride, but it's like it spins around really fast, and it looks like the wheels are turning. It talks, and the wraparound screen is really well done, and the visuals are perfect. Like they did a really good job in the small amount of time they had. If only people were watching it.
If only I liked shows. I just want to go on rides.
Hey, but there's a dance party with DJ, the ultimate party car outside.
We need more dance parties at Disney. There's a shortage currently.
There's a crossover now because the Incredibles dance party thing is still going on at Pixar Place. But that's actually ending in a couple months, I think, after the summer. So they'll still keep going with the DJ dance party.
If they're
going
to do a dance party, can they at least do DJ Rex?
No, they only fit 30 people in there.
There'd be no room for dancing in a 4-hour line anyway.
There'd be no happiness for dancing by the time you get in.
Fill all the available space dance party.
I don't think it's in the show notes, but that Attractions magazine article with the tour with the Imagineer let the cat out of the bag that we've been hearing forever, that Rock and Roller Coaster is going to lose Aerosmith.
Again?
For reals, maybe?
Just not the Jonas Brothers, like somebody else I heard say, please.
I think that ship has sailed.
Yes,
although,
please.
Wait, no, they're back together, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, but I still don't want that. How is that a Rock and Roller Coaster?
Yeah, so the rumor is the contract's coming up again, and they're exploring different concepts. Of course, in Paris, they're just turning into a Marvel ride, but they can't do that here. Do you guys have any suggestions what they could replace Aerosmith with?
Well, they do have some obscure Marvel character movies coming out, so maybe they could. They have like
Big Hero 6. Big Hero 6, the limo ride.
I mean, they do have some more obscure characters that I don't think Universal has that are about to have.
Do you have
movies,
a thirsty dog behind you, Ian?
I do. It's a big one. It's the Kronk, of course. He's a freaking horse.
I was worried the cat was going to be meowing this whole time, but
nope, we just got the big oaf.
What about getting away from music and you have your Lightning McQueen? I can't even remember the girl's name, the yellow car in Cars 3.
Cruz Ramirez.
Cruz Ramirez. You're in a car. She's a fast car. It, you know, theme what, it.
Has she been modded to be stretched?
Jesus.
Whatever they do, I hope they do more theming than just street signs when they redo it.
I went on it again. Maybe I'm getting old, but I did not enjoy that ride at all the last time I went on it. Because every time I go down to the end of the street, I go on the Twilight Zone because that's the good ride at the end of the street. But I got a fast pass for it. So I went on it. And then between banging your head around and progressively getting sadder and sadder as the ride goes, it just doesn't seem worth it for me.
I still like it a lot, but
I still like it.
Just like she likes Pizza Rizzo, I like Rip Ride Rocket too. So people need to keep that in mind when I say,
"Yeah, that's not a good ride."
Yeah, that's not a great ride. It's okay, but it's not great.
It's whisper quiet most of the time, so you can hear the music. I do like that.
Yay! If you can put the numbers in quick enough to get the song you want.
My screen didn't work last time, so I don't know.
It's like a stress test on that ride.
Yes.
Yeah, that is on a moving platform. That is stressful. Yeah.
What number is it?
Pretty much always somehow get stuck with ZZ Top's Sharp Dressed Man or something like that. Because I try to do the secret list and I always run out of time. And I think that's like the default song or something.
So do you think if Disney did something like that, it would be instead of the pre-show with Aerosmith in a window, that they just do like a test track room where you pick your own song, touch your magic band, and then when you go on the ride, you can tap it so you don't have the stress of
would you get somebody else's
second?
Song, like the pictures from somebody else's ride in your photo pass?
Probably. Or like my car never comes up on test track anymore.
I feel like, why am I listening to Tony Bennett? I didn't pick that.
Come on, guys. We know. It's going to be an indoor Incredicoaster.
Oh. I don't know.
Right? No one said it.
I don't know.
That'd be cool. I could live with that.
It would be cool, be okay, but I don't know about that.
With just the static figures with like now with neon lighting.
I just want, as long as they be able to sell the cookie num num after the block party leaves, I'm fine with wherever they put it.
I was going to say in September, I'm sad that we're losing a cookie num num and an Italian sandwich because there's not very much food to eat in that park.
Disney Plus too is about to get a Monsters, Inc. show. So maybe we'll get the door coaster.
Yeah, I don't know how that works exactly. Like,
I don't either.
Some kind of maintenance vehicle through the door delivery system. We're not riding on a door, are we?
Oh, I hope not. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of stuff that's coming up that they might want to push again.
No, I like that idea.
That's definitely on the docket.
I like the idea of ripping out Launch Bay and the whole animation courtyard and putting Monstropolis there.
Putting
a
walkway there?
Monstropolis. Yeah. Well, yeah. Like you enter a city that's Monstropolis right next to Toy Story Land. So you have another Pixar Land. That way we have all Lucas on the left with Indiana Jones and Star Wars and all Pixar on the right. and then you make your way through the Monstropolis and the dead ends into the new roller coaster. And then you can turn right and go down Sunset Boulevard and you don't have any dead ends anymore.
I think a walkway over there alone, just anything would be good.
it's not like Launch Bay is really necessary. It's kind of just their fancy Star Wars gift shop right now.
Yeah, it won't even make sense once Galaxy's Edge is open. You have three separate Star Wars areas in the same park. It's really kind of strange.
That's definitely.
Are they going to do meet and greets in the land? Are they going to have like an indoor area for
you're going to meet the cast member who tells you your time's up and you got to leave.
Yeah. I don't think they're doing meet and greets. I thought they said they weren't doing that.
That's really weird. Like the Chewbacca meet and greet is incredibly, even the BB-8 meet and greet is incredibly popular at Launch Bay. Kylo Ren, not so much.
Yeah.
Which does not bode well for their new land.
I might be misremembering, but I thought they said they weren't going to do meet and greets in the land in Galaxy's Edge.
I did hear that too. There's no indoor structure for it to happen. You know what this sounds like? It sounds like when they moved Pixar Place out to Toy Story Land, and now they have the meet and greets just in the street when they used to have a nice little indoor area. Like why do you build a land with no gift shops? First of all, Toy Story Land. But like now they're going to build the biggest land ever added to Disney parks and not put meet and greet areas.
Yeah, because they're going to have the droids wandering around right at the start when it's all packed, right? And people are going to get stepped on and pushed, and droids are going to fall over too. It's going to be great.
It's actually really sad that they designed droids and they just can't unleash them. So we're going to like 5 years before they ever come out.
I know. And the loaf cat. Didn't they see something about doing a loaf cat?
A what?
A loaf cat.
I don't know what you're saying.
I am definitely the odd man out in Star Wars, apparently. Okay, I'm just going to shut up.
No, I want you to describe it.
It's a little cat thing. It's from a few planets. One of the Jedi, they try to get them to calm, to become one and calm the thing, because it's an adorable little thing that's kind of vicious. And
is this in the movies?
No, it's in one of those animated
shows. Okay. Because, like, I know
is this
movies.
Even in canon? Has this been? I think this has been retconned out of the Disney universe.
No, it's in the shows. It's in the animated shows.
Oh, okay, if it's in the animated shows, it must exist because they have animated characters. There's old, in the land.
And I thought they said they were going to bring one, like living, breathing thing.
That'd be cool. If it's anything like the raptor they had at Dinoland USA, I'm sure it'll go over just great.
Oh, well, it's smaller than that, and I think you're going to want it if you look it up, Alicia, the cat lady over there.
No, I probably will. And yes, I don't have enough money. I already have to buy a droid when I go.
So. You have to buy me a DJ Rex. Is that what you said? Yeah, I know.
That's what I said. That's what I heard. That's what came out of my mouth. Cookie Num Num. What else? Toy Story Land. Okay, Toy Story Land. I wrote down Slinky Dog Dash's series of unfortunate events. Because this poor coaster. This poor, poor coaster. We got eyes popping out now. Its tails had to be cut off for a little while. Originally, all the fences had to be replaced.
All the fences had do not lean against.
I think they 3D printed them at home with that like fragile, thin plastic material.
Yeah. Oh, man.
The stickers are all coming off the queue.
Oh, that's awful. Like the fingernail scratches on the entire walls of the queue. And like people blame the, you know, people waiting in line. And it's like, I don't know. Like maybe you could have put some sealant on this or something, like you know, shellac that wall so that this doesn't happen.
It doesn't normally happen.
It does in Pandora. You should see the conservation initiative sign is completely scratched. It's a white sign now. There's no words on it.
I blame Chapek.
Well, it's okay. We've been making roller coasters for how long? And like the foam on the Slinky Dog started ripping and tearing apart so much they put Velcro covers on it now. So we don't even see the actual Slinky material. We see a Velcro replacement cover, like you put a seat cover on your car seat so that you don't ruin your car seat. This is what we have on Slinky Dog.
Wow. Oh, man. So they didn't design it well, or they didn't have the money to do what they needed to do with it from the start. Like maybe it was rushed a little.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
They're two window quick service with three seats.
A little tiny land.
That's
bigger.
This is why Pizza Rizzo is like one of my favorite restaurants, because there's no restaurants that are good at that park. Like some of the best food,
including Pizza Rizzo,
outside. Yes, no.
You wonder why there's no seating in there, Alicia? It's because people have gone in and it's horrible.
Yeah, well, no, it's big and open. It's quiet because there's no one in there. It's air conditioned. It's got nice music playing. It's got a fake New York style. I like it.
You know what I don't like? It's horrible.
You know what I don't like? The most crowded place ever in Toy Story Land, trying to eat a sandwich with no tables and no chairs. That's what I don't like. Out in the hot sun with no umbrellas. Yeah, that's what I don't like.
We did the Brown Derby last time. That was very pleasant.
Yeah.
Oh, well, excuse me, Mr. Moneybags.
I'm a sci-fi dine-in myself.
Yep, sci-fi is good. I like
the 50s diner.
Yep.
That's my favorite.
I like Mama Melrose.
But I'm
too.
Talking it's about quick service. Okay. I can't afford these things on a regular basis. I'm talking about grabbing something to eat. You know, I want my bad Caesar salad and a slice of pizza that's not even technically pizza.
Cardboard.
It's crust.
It's more crust than anything. Cheese.
It's
and Elio's. I've heard you hate Muppets, so you like that there's no Muppet theming in this Muppet restaurant, so that's a positive.
No, I like that it's just the right amount of Muppet theming. You have to really squint your eyes to see it. It's just the right amount. It's like, not obnoxious.
It's like ironic Muppet theming.
Yeah, it's like they have records on the wall or like Broadway show bills, but they're all like things that are somewhat related to characters from the Muppets, but not technically.
Yeah, they want to make you work for it because, you know.
I have no example here. Hold on.
They make that Star Wars cat look relevant.
They have that one cork board.
They're trying to make you work for it so that while you're busy reading stuff that doesn't make sense, you don't notice how bad the food is.
Yeah, to take you away from the taste.
It's total distraction tactic.
If anyone's listening to this, though, it's opening on May 4th. Pizza Rizzo. Disney. Get the veggie pizza. It's delicious.
Please Disney don't. Threatens to reopen Pizza Rizzo.
That is a threat. That's proper wording.
It's true, though. It's opening only because the other – well, we'll get to that later. I wanted to talk about –
No, I was seriously really excited because I do love the Muppets. I love pizza. And I think the outside of it, when you have that awesome neon sign where it goes from the top-rated pizza to it's rat pizza, I mean, it's just brilliant. And then they touted this. We put $1 million in the kitchen, which I guess they just bought new microwaves. And it's just awful. It's just absolutely awful. And I can't even think of something, supercharged, more disappointment from an IP I really enjoy and was looking forward to. And it's like, come on, man.
Besides like Epcot, if I see pizza on a menu at Disney, I steer clear. It's horrible.
I stayed at the Coronado and we got the delivery pizza.
No,
exact same pizza that they sell at Pizza Rizzo, but cooked in a real oven and it was better. So apparently all it takes is having a real pizza oven, which I guess Pizza Rizzo doesn't have or they're not cooking it long enough.
Is better really that difficult?
It was fully cooked, let's just say, instead of a doughy mess.
Why did they let Blaze open? It just reminds you. I mean, you can make this cheaper, faster, and better than what you're currently getting.
But the veggie one, I'm telling you, the veggie one's good because they like saute the veggie pieces, the little tiny pieces of veggies.
Yeah. Epcot, it's a solid pizza stop. Other than that, no thank you. I don't trust it.
You're talking about the electric umbrella, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
So according to Walt Disney World News Today, the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular is rumored to go through some changes.
I don't know if I like that.
I believe it's going to be based around the Shia LaBeouf character now. We're all going to get into that.
We're going to get Mutt.
Yeah, I was trying to think of his name, but I could not think. All I could think of was him swinging with the monkeys. And I'm like, what's his name?
Mutt.
Monkey swinger. No, the rumor is that they're taking away the working studio concept that it's had since it opened, 30 years ago. So it would just be more of a straight storyline narrative structure. Like now we're watching an actual Indiana Jones adventure instead of just watching someone film an Indiana Jones movie.
I don't like that. I think the whole thing plays well the way it is.
It's a good show.
I think trying to fake like you're actually watching something real is going to not be great.
I mean, because they need something to fill the time while they, there goes the neighborhood when they like wheel away the entire set. There needs to be, and that's my favorite joke. 30 years in, it's still funny every time. There goes the neighborhood.
Weird that one of the, when the Illuminations is changing later this year and kind of like one of the reasons people are okay with it is because it's, it's been around for a while. Like everything at DHS has been around longer and none of us are demanding it get changed. So it's just strange. That people are so, I don't want to say happy Illuminations is going, but that's like it's okay because it's been around for like 19 years And it's like all this cool stuff at Disney Hollywood Studios has been around even longer. And we're not demanding it. You know, we don't want the Little Mermaid to go, or this, the Beauty and the Beast stage show to go, or this to go. They're good shows. Keep them.
I mean, just named the only three things left, by the way, that are old.
Yeah, but I mean, if the Crystal Skull was good, they could have, like, if Crystal Skulls was good, they could have updated and added something, like a scene or something. But since it's not that great,
what do you do in between set changes for 8 minutes that is story related while you physically watch the sets disappear? Like, how does that, do they pull a curtain so you don't see the sets changing, like a play?
I have
like,
no idea.
How do you even do that?
I have an idea. And taken from the Margaritaville water park.
No,
is that you're going to post pictures on your social media and we'll display them on a large screen in front of you so you can tell your friends and family how bored you are by this new show.
A giant screen drops in front of you so you can't see the set change, and it's just your face. Enormous.
Do you remember the Disney parade? I think it was a nighttime show, actually, afterwards, where they were putting people's pictures up for a fraction of a second, and that was supposed to be the big gimmick on the castle?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The memories. What was that called? I'm going to sit here for 8 minutes and not think of it.
Magic, the memories. It was like, possibly.
It was just the last show.
But then they put it on the parade, and it's just like, I don't want to see anybody else's pictures.
Nope.
I had a theory that it was always the same, and they just pretended it was new people every day.
I could believe that.
So I do know one of the stunt guys that at least did work there. So I might ask him what he can tell me, if anything.
If you had read the show notes prior, you might have done that before we started recording.
I don't even know that I could get a hold of him that quickly anyway, but I'll see if I can reach out to him.
So according to WDWNT, they say the show is rumored to close for a lengthy period spanning 2020 to 2021. So just in time for the anniversary, but not too soon because they need the capacity.
The only thing I want them to do is enclose that thing.
They have the gigantic fans over the audience.
So great. Huge fans. I'm packed in on aluminum. Sitting on aluminum packed in with my fellow man. Giant fans help a lot. I love that show. I really am going to be bummed if they don't keep at least some of what they have. They try to make it seem like it's real. It's going to seem really silly to me, I think.
And that's the Sinbad problem. That's what was wrong with Sinbad.
Yeah. No matter how cool the stunts and stuff are, I can still be into that. But if it's really a storyline and trying to...
I liked the... I mentioned it before, but the Wild 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 West stunt show, I liked it because it started off as saying, like, you know, this is a stunt show. I'm the stunt coordinator. This is the assistant director. And here's the stunt crew. And then they got, like, all of a sudden these Western people just come out of nowhere and they're in character. And it's like kind of a mix of both. It's a narrative, but it also knows it's a show. But then Sinbad, it's like, I'm to believe that all of a sudden this is all happening, and yet you keep turning to the audience and talking to us? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Why are you begging to the audience?
What are we
going to
do? What are we going
to
do without the Hawaiian shirt plant? Come on. It's like the best part.
I do like that moment.
It's so good.
I do like that moment. Wasn't there like a special where Kermit did that once?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't remember that.
It was like a Muppet at MGM Studios, and Kermit was dressed up as... Never mind. I don't want to find it and put it in the video version.
Wasn't there this super obscure moment that's going to take me a week to find? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So ABC Commissary is going to be they're already accepting reservations for the summer. Discuss.
Yay. Does that food really require reservations? You get to make sure you have a seat, I guess. I don't know.
Personally, maybe you wouldn't have this problem of not having enough seats available if you were to not close one of your quick services restaurants with the most amount of seating.
Yeah, no one. Which one are we talking about?
Her favorite.
Pizza Rizzo.
Okay, the one that no one goes into when it's open, that one?
Well, maybe if they served better food,
maybe
it would be full of more people. It was busy the last time I went. I went 2 days before it closed, and it was busy. So it's not like people don't eat there. It's just like Backlot Express, ABC Commissary are so overcrowded that people are like, well, I guess we're going to Pizza Rizzo. But now they don't even have that. It's like, I guess we're going to Woody's Lunchbox and eating over a garbage can.
So ABC Commissary, I've only eaten there once, and it was just because it was the first thing that opened that was nearby. That's it. I don't really go in there. No thank you.
You would think if they're so committed to changing the theme of the park to the, so they're going to change an Indiana show, a Jones show that's fantastic because it has something to do with that. Then you got to change the theme of a commissary. That makes no sense having it in the park. So, I mean, why isn't that happening? Why is this being changed to an ultra themed restaurant, or at least one that serves good food or something like that? Commissary makes no sense if you're going to literally, if it's all this is true, getting rid of any type of reference to a working movie studio.
Well, you opened the Today Cafe at Universal, everyone in the universe complains because it's too much synergy, but the ABC commissary has been here forever and no one cares. It's a tie-in to, it's got like, you know, movie posters and props from the different, there's a Goldberg's shirt or something in a glass case. It is weird because it's sandwiched in the tiniest street.
Yeah.
Which are kind of expanding because they took away that photo op and the DVC booth, but it's a very small restaurant, but it ends up being the most popular.
Then they should fix the food too if they're going to do this anyway. No matter what their goal is with the reservations, they need to fix
it. It's the only quick service I know about that has a different menu for lunch and dinner.
I wish they had breakfast because that would have been useful the day I was there waiting for them to open.
You dropped ABC Commissary. Now that is interesting.
Well, we got there early and I was meeting somebody there and we got over there in time and it was the first thing to open. So we just waited for it a few minutes. It wasn't even that long. But yeah,
kind of. They got good breakfast at Woody's Lunchbox has good breakfast.
Yeah, but
rope drop that.
That wasn't an option for me then.
I know. Now it is. Yeah.
But the food there sucks. I don't like the commissary food.
I can't even fathom somebody making an ADR for the ABC commissary. It's just wow.
Can you imagine canceling it and being charged $10 per person?
Forgetting that you had this stupid thing to be charged.
Oh, man.
But it's going to be like Be Our Guest, where like you order at the counter, you get a little pager, and then a cast member will bring the food to you. So now it's fancy.
Now, if only the food was fancy.
That's how Leaky Cauldron is. I love Leaky Cauldron. Yeah. That's really good food at Leaky Cauldron.
I was going to say the food's good there, though.
The food is really good, but I like how they bring you the food. It makes it like a fancier experience.
Fancy.
So let's just hope that when Star Wars opens, Pizza Rizzo is open at the same time. Otherwise, this poor park, it's not going to have anywhere to eat.
It's going to be queue. The waiting for people.
The whole park is queue. And before we get to Star Wars, the Muppet building, they painted over a mural.
Yeah, that's sad. I'm fearful for the Muppets a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and you guys covered their gift shop changes too. I mean, they really simplified.
No, I was going to ask, like, what's left? It's like one shelf now?
Yeah, and it's very generic, just the overall theming, let alone merchandise and stuff like that. But
it's weird because I have a niece that likes the Muppet Babies reboot, and I wanted to get some Muppet Babies, like, stuffed animals. And in the giant Muppet store that used to all be Muppets, and then it was Muppets and Nightmare Before Christmas, is now just like one little tiny shelf of Muppets. I had to go all the way out to the future entrance to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at a cart to buy a Muppet Baby plush. And I'm like, why isn't this in the Muppet Baby store? In the Muppet store? Why is it out here by where Chip and Dale is meet and greeting? Like, this doesn't make any sense.
It's just, I'm fearful for the Muppets because they can't seem to get it 100% right with what they're doing. They've come close, but it's still not been right. And it's not
how. Oh, do you mean that primetime show that was awful?
No, the show was awful. The first one with Siegel was Jason, right?
Yeah, he did a great job.
That was pretty good. That was pretty close. That was pretty close to being
a man or a Muppet. Good song. And Oscar winning? I think it was an Oscar winning song.
I think so too. And I mean, the songs were great and they were really close. Great, and then the second one wasn't that great.
Well, the second one, your biggest problem is if you're going to have Tina Fey and the guy from Modern Family, don't make them talk in weird accents the whole time. Mm-hmm. I think you're not playing to their strengths here.
And then the show was obviously a drop, but I heard like you were talking about, I heard the Muppet Babies reboot was pretty good. And then
it is good. I've watched it.
And now Disney Plus is going to take another shot with a Muppet show.
With Josh Gad.
Which is interesting.
A conspiracy theorist would say Disney does not want the Muppets to succeed. And I mean, I love the Muppets, but if you're a betting person, you have to think they're going to be leaving out of that park. They kind of make no sense. If Star Wars is a hit, and there's no reason to believe it's not going to be a big hit, I don't know if it's going to be as huge as Disney is banking on. But you have to get rid of that Muppetary afterwards. That's your next logical place.
Yep.
You know what they're going to put there? The meet and greets.
Exactly.
The Star Wars meet and greets. They need a place for it, right? Because they forgot to put it in the plans. But yeah, taking away the sign and putting up the marquee with removable letters. That was the writing on the wall. And then now painting over the actual wall. So like tomorrow, it could be a preview for Aladdin or something. And, you know, we'll never see it coming.
Dumbo. Like Dumbo on DVD.
Isn't that the last movie that Henson worked on for the
yes,
show?
Yes, it is.
That's sadder.
Yes, it is.
That's sad. That makes it worse. That makes it much harder.
It didn't. He finished the directing of the live action. But then I think it was Frank Oz came in and finished post-production without him.
I think so too.
Yes. And it really feels like Jim Henson.
Yeah.
You know, I you know, if they wanted to go in and redo the computer graphics, I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I'm afraid that we're just going to lose it all together.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they kept all the animatronics on this long.
Yeah, I'm fearful. Does Sweetum still come out? I don't remember.
Yes, he does.
That's good.
He does. Sometimes he's off and you might not see him, but that's rare. Like they only have one guy to do it, I guess, because sometimes I don't see him, but it's very rare that he's not there. And yes, I see it often enough to notice because I go every single time just in case it's the last time.
Yeah, that's all. That makes it worse. That it was Henson's last.
That's what they, it was, what? I mean, I haven't been to DCA, but that's where Fantasmic's going, right? Not Fantasmic, PhilharMagic. It's replacing their Muppet.
Oh, yeah, because it's just been.
I can't remember now out there.
Well, it was just movie previews like we have at the One Man's Dream Theater. And they promised that it was going to alternate between Muppet Vision and movie previews, but then it never was Muppet Vision again. It was just movie previews. So they just gave up on it. And at least they're putting an attraction there.
I blame Chapek.
They're on their way out, unfortunately.
What's funny about this, the Studio One store, they redid half of it. And the half that was the Nightmare Before Christmas, which still said on the door last time I went, and they turned it into a nursery set. And it actually says like on the wall, Muppet Movie Nursery Set. So it's like they themed it to the Muppets. So it still fits in with the theme. But then it's an art store. It's a Disney art store. And there's actually no Muppets in it.
That's weird.
So like they themed the actual store to the Muppets. Just like the other half has like all the prop department for the Muppets. And it has like the what's Animal's band name?
Electric Mayhem.
Yep.
Yeah, there's like a model of all of them up on the rafters and stuff. So it's still all themed like the Muppets, but then you got one shelf of actual merchandise.
Bananas.
Which is kind of like Dinoland USA. It's
more
the dinosaur store is themed like dinosaurs, but has one shelf of dinosaurs.
It's more merchandise than in Toy Story Land. With their
all right, so heading beyond Muppets, now that we've talked for far too long, let's talk about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. I'm sure we'll just breeze right through this. You know, there's nothing going on with Star Wars lately.
I already memorized my 24 hours and did my time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we talked about every drink already. Yup dub.
Yup nub.
So I wrote in my notes, can this park handle it? Can it handle Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, or will this break the little park that could?
I think we're going to find out. Especially since they've said they're not going to do the reservations. It's going to be very interesting.
I'm more excited. The show that's going to happen out in Disney when that opens is going to be amazing to watch from afar. So it's going to be interesting to see. They're going to have to fall on their face. There's just no way you can open something like this in that park and not have just monumental mistakes you didn't see coming. And if they'll be able to correct them for a completely different, even though it's the exact same Galaxy's Edge, a completely different park building up to it, and different type of guests, and how different, so no matter what kind of lessons you do learn, they probably aren't going to apply here the same way.
Nope.
Disneyland has rides.
Yeah.
So when you can't get into Galaxy's Edge, there's things
there's to,
do.
Right.
Did we completely skip over Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway?
We did.
You know, just like Disney, we completely forgot it
away
existed.
From 2019.
it's derailed in its development. The headlines write themselves, honestly. No, well, with the capacity for the park being what it is, you know, since they closed everything, like they closed things that weren't even related to the construction of the new lands. So now instead of a great movie ride with its huge capacity, we're not even going to get the speed bump. Like when Diagon Alley was being built, they're like, oh, we need a speed bump here. And they built Transformers in record time. And it was a good speed bump.
And Despicable Me, like this car show. Minion Mayhem up. The little kids, they expanded Springfield, USA. They did all of that to get people to kind of segue out or, you know, spread out. And Disney's going the opposite way, just saying, nope, we're not going to open anything.
I mean, we did Toy Story Land, but like, it's not like the Alien Swirling Saucers really packs them in. And it's not like anyone can get a fast pass for Slinky Dog.
That might be condemned by the time Galaxy Edge opens up. Let's not count on that.
Poor Slinky Dog.
There is room too, right? Back there in Toy Story Place, whatever, Pixar Place, Toy Story Land for expansion. Isn't there another pad back there for some?
I don't. It was going to be for an actual inside restaurant. I don't think it was very big though. It was going to be skinny.
Well, that's kind of crappy.
It has to eat into the employee parking and they have to tear down the garage if they really wanted to add something.
Well, they need to.
And, you know, maybe one day that'll happen, but it's going to take way longer than
they need it would have.
They barely got it done in time as they did. They're not going to open Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So the actual speed bump and, you know, Blog Mickey's reporting not till maybe next year. Hi, Alicia here from the future. While editing this podcast, it appears on Friday, April 19th, Disney Parks blog announced that Runaway Railway will not only be going to Disneyland in 2022, but it will be opening at Disney's Hollywood Studios in spring 2020. So, spring 2020. Yep. We now return to our regularly scheduled, already recorded podcast. And Disney hasn't said, I mean, you know, it's true because Disney hasn't been touting this. Right. Like they normally would write a blog post for every single element of every single thing they do. And because they're not, we're not hearing every day, hey, check out this new 2.5D technology. It's telling me that this might actually have been pushed.
You know what else we're not hearing about every day is that brand new Star Wars hotel.
Well, at least they actually started vertical construction. I was concerned.
Yeah, but they're still not touting it. So they're behind on that, too, I would imagine. So
that's because it only holds 90 people.
Yeah, it's kind of
the cantina will hold more people than this hotel.
It's kind of a silly thing to build, though. I would imagine that's going to be a little bit of a nightmare. I'm going to go outside and no, I'm going to be in space when I go outside. And then the shuttles they got to build for two, like there and back. All that stuff they got to do.
I don't think I can do it. I get claustrophobic. I don't want to do a cruise because I don't want to be locked in. But at least a cruise, you can go outside. If you're in space, all the windows are fake. There's no escape. I need to get some fresh air. It's like, hold on, get in the shuttle. No, I need some fresh air now. I'm freaking out. Get in the shuttle. We have to go back to the ground.
There's no air. You're in space.
Yeah, my head will implode if I go outside.
So they have to pull people from Star Wars for the hotel. They have to have that open. There's not enough people down there to work with everything going on.
The hotel? No. Oh yeah. Well, that's the rumor, right? The Mickey and Minnie isn't opening. That even Rise of the Resistance isn't opening for the initial run because they're pushing the opening date to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge earlier. So all hands on deck. They need every construction worker on this one project to get, you know, Millennium Falcon done and DJ Rex done. Yeah. So,
don't forget the other park that's eating up the workers too, doing their own thing. So
what?
Universal? They have
No, I never heard of
it. Yeah, I know. It's you never talk about Universal.
E-Ticket Report doesn't either, so that's a huge
Well, I mean they have a park they're kind of preparing for over there. So I would imagine they're sucking up laborers too. And
maybe they could stop work on the Ratatouille ride.
Oh man. Yeah, I don't think that park needs help right now.
They're doing pretty good over at Epcot, making good time. Okay, so here's a question. Are they going to do the couple hour time limits in Hollywood Studios when it first opens, even though they're not doing the reservations? Are they going to like let you in, give you like some kind of colored wristband or whatever, and then kick you out at a certain time so other people can come in? Or are you just going to be in and then you can just squat and stay there all day?
Have a different color for every 5 minutes? Just make you wait 5 minutes?
Yes. No, it's like it's like a color for every hour, and then they know what your hour cutoff is.
So if they do that, they're going to have people wading through the sea of humanity and trying to find everybody with a specific color on their wrist.
Well, maybe like not until you go and get in line for Millennium Falcon, and then someone at the greeter position is like, I'm sorry, get out.
10% off coupon at Pizza Rizzo. I
heard pizza's whether good. whether it's open or not, here it is. Have fun. Good luck.
Now, remember, we also have Star Wars at the launch bay in the center of the park for the shows and at Star Tours. Enjoy Star Wars other stuff. Bye.
I don't know how they would actually pull that off, to be honest.
I'm not sure how much will be open because, this, I mean, clearly our opening is way moved up. I mean, no one saw this date coming.
Yeah. And they even said it in the blog post. Like, they even said, even we did not expect to open this soon. It's like, when they're admitting it, you know it, they weren't expecting it.
I think the other issue is
travel agents will agree that it's because they saw the soft booking down here and needed to do something. Yeah. But that's not a good sign for your guest expectations, you know, because they don't care, you know, they don't know about your soft bookings. All they hear about is this awesome Star Wars Galaxy Edge coming, and they're going to go in there, and there's a good possibility a lot of stuff's not going to be ready for people because their timeline, their construction timeline, wasn't expecting people to be here for several more months.
Yeah, and on top of that, with a time crunch like this, operations is going to be bumping into Imagineering now, trying to finish everything, so they're probably going to be shoulder like, for a while.
Just imagine when operations finally gets handed it like 4 days before it's supposed to open, and Imagineering's like, here you go, and operations like, okay, wait, there's no cash registers. Wait, there's no doors on this. There's no signs. What is going on? What did you guys? It's a new concept, open concept theme park land.
I was thinking more along the lines of them coming in every day and finding out something's changed by Imagineering and then having to work around it. That's what I was thinking about.
What do you mean that the safety warnings aren't in English? they're in a space language no one knows?
Rubish, yeah.
You have to translate it with your phone.
This isn't even legal. And it's like, yeah, but it's authentic.
There's pictures.
Yeah, the jazz hands guy. Woo, I'm dancing.
No.
Do not dance during this ride.
Disco dancing.
So yeah, Rise of the Resistance isn't going to be open. That makes, as I said in a previous episode, that makes it easier for me because I would have run to that normally first, but now I'm just going to go eat some food, buy a droid, and hang out in the cantina. I don't care about the Millennium Falcon ride that much for my first visit. I'll let everyone else run to that when the thing opens.
Blasphemy.
I'm not going to buy a Kowakian monkey lizard, though.
You're not going to buy Salacious Crumb?
They're called. Yeah, Salacious Crumb. Did you see the colors on these things? Yeah.
I think
each
the weirder,
one more horrible than the last.
I think the weirder part are the hands and feet that are so big and funny looking when he's not cross-legged.
And they have like disjointed like marionette points.
Yep.
Like the Banshee looks good. And this thing, well, you know, it looks just as weird as the Muppet in the movie did. So,
I think people are used to seeing, when you go to exotic locations on cruises like that, there's photo ops with parrots and stuff like that and exotic birds. We're kind of used to birds being on people's shoulders. It's kind of a cool gimmick.
And the Banshee kind of looks like a bird.
Yeah, like dragons and birds. It's just a neat thing.
Okay.
Nobody, I mean, you're going to have your hardcore, I think, Star Wars audience that'll think this is cool, but I don't think it's going to connect your average guest like the Banshees did for uniqueness.
Wait, you don't go to the first. You don't go to Mexico and get off the cruise ship and get a Salacious Crumb on your shoulder? Yeah. That's not normal.
I still see kids to this day like, oh, mommy, buy me a dragon, because you know that's it. Still connects. Yeah, you're right. It looks like a dragon.
Yeah, and they're evil for changing all the colors.
Except for the 20th anniversary one, that looks like poop. But the Night Blossom one looks amazing. I'll tell you that.
There's so many cool colors.
But yeah, no, I don't think the Salacious Crumb he's like a little drunk, like middle-aged little dude that hangs out with a bad guy who has slaves. Yeah. Like, I just don't see him connecting.
What, that's not family friendly?
I think they are slaves. These monkey things are slaves in that universe too.
Oh, do they have a collar on them? I thought they were like a little pet.
I think he does.
He is just a being. Yeah. He's a slave too. So great. So now we have slaves on our shoulders.
Yep.
Wonderful.
What's wrong with that?
And moving on, do you think Rise of the Resistance will open first or Runaway Railway in Florida? They're both trackless, new technology-based attractions.
I'm going to bet Runaway Railway.
I think if they're not going to, obviously they're not going to open Runaway Railway before Star Wars, then you might as well wait till next summer. There's really no point in opening it.
Don't give it a whole year
January. No. What? I mean, there's a reason. That's why Universal opens stuff. They don't care about like Fallon and Supercharged in these months. You don't open the good stuff then.
I'm betting on it just because it would create a bit of a speed bump on the way back, that they'd be trying to get it done a little faster.
It's because if they only had enough people to work on one or the other, which one do you finish first?
Well, I would say Runaway Railway. I think also Rise of the Resistance it's got so many parts and sections. I would imagine there's some issues going on them trying to resolve. So I think Runaway Railway would be the sure bet just to get it done quicker.
There has to be other issues and construction constraints, considering Disneyland's won't be opening too. I can't imagine that is a deliberate action. Like it'll be ready. We're just not going to open it. No, there's no way.
Yeah. I would say railway is a sure thing for them that they could get done.
So the Coke bottles are shaped round.
Oh, goody. And they cost just the same, but you get less.
8.5 ounces versus 20 ounces. And I bet you the price will be more.
Yeah. That's the one guarantee. We can guess on stuff like when it'll open or if this will have, there's no way that this is not going to be $5 or more. If Jaleo is selling 20 ounce Coke bottles for $5, the thermal detonator Coke bottles with Arubish language is going to start at $5.95 at first, but it's going to be like the Butterbeer when it was $2.99 in the good old days. And now it's $7.99. So there'll be $10 by the end of the summer.
Line's still around the block. Now, no one said this, but what is it? Docking Bay 7 is the quick service. I bet you anything, they still have good old-fashioned soda fountains like they do in Pandora. They just changed the little labels to also be in, Derek, what's the language called?
They're gonna be. We sold out of Orange Bird sipper cups in one day and a half. They're gonna sell out of these Coke bottles within the first week, and they're gonna have 20 ounce Coke bottles with American writing. Well, they're just gonna say that's good enough. Whatever. We're at Disney.
I think it's just a gift shop and a street fair type stuff. I think the inside the restaurants, they're still gonna serve fountain drinks, and I hope it's self serve like at Pandora. That's like my favorite thing, is just getting up and refilling my soda 7 times because that's what I do.
It's gonna be all Beverly. They're gonna say that's where it came from. That would explain the taste.
It's something only a Jedi can appreciate.
Oh.
I think the bottles are, they're cool looking. They fit the land. I was expecting at least a label change, though. It's neat, whatever. But I'm holding out hope that there's still actual fountain drinks. Because I like a drink with ice, while I'm out.
You can't have ice.
No loose ice. It's okay when it's in a drink. You just can't bring it in loose.
So I know they're supposed to be thermal detonators, but they really just like they remind me of.
Are they really? Do they actually call it that?
That's what they look like.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's definitely that's what it is.
They just look like Christmas. They remind me of like the cheap grenades you used to get as a kid, like with like the ones you can make with water balloons and stuff. They don't look very good with the Coke labels on them.
They changed the lid.
I think they look good.
So I think they look cool.
Oh, I'm going to have them.
The Dasani looks the best.
Yeah, the Dasani bottle looks great. That looks really good.
What is it? It's just like a smaller, it looks like the Bud Light bottles.
Yeah. Disney's we talked earlier when you were talking about the Wizarding World and the standard that Universal is held to because of J.K. Rowling, and they are in Simpsons World too. How much different that is compared when they own their own stuff with Fast and Furious and just whatever. Or look at the merchandise in Kong Skull. It's just horrible. They could be so much cooler because Disney owns Star Wars. You're gonna have regular Coke bottles eventually, just like when Pandora had their big. They did have Coke, but they were gonna have no unthemed bags, and now they got Mickey Mouse and Tree of Life bags in there.
Let's talk about that, because the worst sellers I sounded like Chris Wakefield. Let's talk about that. the worst sellers at Pandora was all of the handmade stuff. You talked about that on the e-ticket report. I'm looking at all this Galaxy's Edge stuff, and I'm like, outlet stores.
Yep.
It is. No kid wants something that looks like it was handmade. Like
they made it. Right. Exactly. None of us wanted that growing up.
I want to go buy a macaroni necklace at this little stand because it looks homemade. No, I want the box with the logo with Kylo Ren on it with all the red coloring. I want it to look authentic.
DJ Rex, yeah.
Like a real, like the DJ Rex looks good. It comes in a box. I'm happy with it. Seller.
Yeah, these Star Wars, like Cupid doll, this is like what our grandparents would have for Star Wars toys when they were making them. We're at a different time. I just can't believe what they're going with.
I will say, I remember when I was little going to Medieval Times, and they had like the wooden swords that were handmade, like as practice swords. I thought that was cool.
No, I got a real sword.
But other than those are expensive. But other than that, I like no, there's no way they're gonna sell these little, like, the dolls are like two pieces of cloth sewn together with fluff in the middle. Like, they have an apparent seam on them to make them look homemade. It's just not gonna work.
I think the difference here is gonna be that Star Wars fans will probably buy almost anything that looks like,
well, the Doc Ondar stuff, probably, like the statues and the little crystals and the build your own lightsaber for $170. Sure, those things will sell.
I'm not saying those stuffed animals.
Solo and stuff would disagree that Star Wars fans will buy anything.
Yeah, that's true. That's
they
true.
Finally hit a wall.
Because of that, and kind of like what the whole situation behind Last Jedi, if you were following the news after last Christmas, I mean, it was horrible. The worst year ever for Star Wars toys. Just there's a lot of people leaving that, not leaving the fandom, but they're not buying. The collectors are definitely not just devouring everything like they used to. Until now, it used to be guaranteed. You're putting out Star Wars toys, mm-hmm. you're going to have lines on opening day. You know, you just have, it's a moneymaker from day one. I mean, that was the original Star Wars toys back in 1977, whatever it is, with that early bird special. I mean, that was the beginning of a toy collection craze that just ended last year, and right before Galaxy's Edge opens up. it was a just guaranteed moneymaker, and now they've left, or they're not even out forever, but they've definitely shown that now we're not just going to buy everything like we used to.
Well, yeah, and then wasn't there just a party canceled too?
Yep.
That was because it was in Epcot and
$225 tickets. Yeah, ridiculous.
So the cantina only holds 30 people, huh?
Yep. That's what I hear.
I had that in my show notes, but the guy who tweeted it already took it back. I see what his point was, that, you know, his point still stands. They're probably going to give you an hour time limit for the initial opening in the cantina.
And it's limited table. Disney has already been experimenting for years now of making dining experiences so uncomfortable you want to get out of there by removing chair backs and stuff like that.
slant at the chair just 30 degrees.
So you're kind of food like a pizza Rizzo. The next step in terms of there's not going to be many tables and only a couple seats at the bar. Everybody else is standing. It's just they're going to make it so uncomfortable that you just don't want to be there, which is a weird thing to do with the money people are going to be spending and want to spend. To not give them an experience like, say, Be Our Guest. I mean, it's sold out every night, but people, I think, are satisfied. I would imagine guest scores, not from bloggers, but from your average guest, I think they really like the Be Our Guest restaurant experience and the overall atmosphere. I don't think you're going to get that from people standing in line or standing up having to drink their drink and then get out.
Nub. No, I don't mind, because I'm going to stand right in front of DJ Rex and talk to him and see if he talks back and pretend he's talking back to me. But the idea that I can't listen to all 3 hours of his spiel, DJing. Yeah. You know, it's only 1 hour of music. So at least I'll hear all the songs once, theoretically. But it's especially in Disneyland, where that's the only place to get alcohol besides the sit down restaurant. Like, if you want to have more than one, like, what are you going to do? Try to like down six drinks in an hour? Like, give me another space drink. Quick. So I think it's one of the biggest attractions. If you're not going to have Rise of the Resistance open and you just have Millennium Falcon, the cantina is probably the other biggest draw.
And so they had room and plans for a big table service restaurant. And they
did,
for whatever reason. Yeah. It's just cut it. So it's probably, there's still space there. They're just not doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. Ridiculous. I think they might have used that space. I think that space may have been reallocated, and that rumor may not have been 100% correct.
That they're storing all the hula hoops that right now is our track.
Deep cut. The hula hoops.
If they were going to do that, they should have just built a second floor.
Yeah.
If they lost outward expansion, they should have gone up, because you know how much money they would make on cantina if it was like a sit down, like take your time.
And yeah,
like,
it's a weird decision. It really is a weird decision.
It's not like them to leave money on the table like that. It's just weird.
It's short term. I mean, it's like not having Al's Toy Barn in Toy Story Land doesn't make sense. It's going to make you lots of money in the long run, and people would love it. And they just didn't do it for whatever reason.
They had a barn in the concept art for Toy Story Land, but it was a Fisher Price barn that sold toys inside. Not technically Al's Toy Barn, just for the record.
Well, Shanghai has Al's Toy Barn.
What a horrible idea. Who would want to buy that?
There is room for the toy barn, by the way, still. That they don't have to knock anything down. There's just grass right there. That's right when you enter the land on your left, there's nothing there.
Right,
right behind Pixar Place, that's where the toy barn was going to go. So they could build that one day, and I don't think it would be that expensive because it's just a shell.
to sell stuff. All it's going to do is sell things. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
It's literally about toys, the brand. It just, I don't get it. Disney used to be so far ahead of the curve. You mentioned before on customer service, and now they're definitely not the gold standard on that. But same thing for merchandise and stuff like that. They were just the go-to people. And
instead, they took out their own bakery from that park and turned it into the Toy Story store on Sunset Boulevard, Sweet Spells, which is nowhere near Toy Story Land. And now it's a Pixar store that's, you know, completely disjointed from the land. So it's like the opposite of immersiveness. Like, usually you want to buy the stuff while you're in the land. Just like I want to meet the Wookiee while I'm in the Star Wars land.
That's your taste of Bob J. Beck in charge. We're getting sneak peeks of it to get our feet wet in the before we get shoved into the
room. I'm going to coin a term. It's going to be scattered immersiveness. your Star Wars is on the left side of the park, the right side of the park, the center of the park, and the behind you. Your Star Wars experience is a collective thing that you must go to the launch bay, meet the characters, make your purchases at Star Tours, and watch the show in the center, and then go ride the ride in the back.
What does that say about what his opinion is on the guests? Like, we're all just dumb and we'll just go anywhere to buy stuff. Like, what does that say?
It's taking a broken park that was never set up cohesively and making it worse.
Yeah, but I mean,
like, the dead ends that they fixed and making the dead ends come back again.
But we
like,
were just they, talking
they
about
fixed the, and then they brought it back.
We were just talking about it though. They had plans for a toy store in Toy Story Land. And
well, they got two carts. So in their mind,
they're like, here, you go take a hike if you want to buy stuff now. Get out of here, kid. Go buy stuff over there.
We got the two carts. And then if you want the more merchandise, if you want to, you know, they have the headband that sells. So they put that in the cart. And if you want the toys, you have to go to the front of the park.
Yeah. Go take a walk, kid. If you're going to, I mean, why would you not want to sell the whole gift shop at the end of the ride is because people are excited. They're getting off the ride. They're just like,
no rides have gift shops anymore.
I know. It's
like Universal is still doing it. More than they ever have. And Disney stopped. Guardians of the Galaxy is not going to have a gift shop.
When you get off Slinky Dog, you can pick up the tail that fell off. So that's your
thing. Here's your eyeball. It popped out just for you.
Some of the foam. Here's your foam. Take that home. Have at it. Yeah.
Comes in a Velcro case, carrying case. Okay. One more thing. What happens to Star Tours?
I don't think anything. I think they got too much invested. Yeah, it's just we're getting the in between Star Wars and Star Tours and Galaxy's Edge is Muppets. So that's where you're going to have to get rid of. And eventually they'll connect to some story.
I have to bring up, though, people always say that. They're like, yeah, well, they're going to tear down Muppets and then connect Star Tours to Star Wars Land. But let me refer you to Disneyland, where in between Star Tours and Star Wars is the whole rest of the theme park. They're not going to tear down Sleepy Beauty Castle to connect Star Wars Land to Star Tours there.
I think that's an argument for it, though, in Florida, because it's just one area, not the whole theme park. So if they wanted to expand, they have that. And then it also makes Star Tours better, because when you get off, you're supposed to be on Batu anyway.
Well, I like that ending. I do like that ending. But at the same time, Millennium Falcon is supposed to be like the better Star Tours. So now they have two similar rides for the same franchise within, 100 yards of each other.
I don't think it's going anywhere, though. I think they're going to keep upgrading it. I don't think it's going anywhere.
That's a good area, too. I don't think Disneyland is anywhere near as well-themed as our areas with the Endor part and stuff like that, or what you can do with it.
Well, there was rumors they were going to finish the backside of the AT-AT and the trees and stuff, so it's no longer Studio X. Then again, why would you keep a quarter scale AT-AT when you have the full scale ones in Rise of the Resistance?
I swear to God, I thought you were going to say backside of water for half a second. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they could easily take all that stuff down, but I mean, if it's
like
just
a poor man Star Wars land in front of the real Star Wars land.
Yeah, but I mean, it's really just one plaza that separates them at the end of the day. It's not.
I know that's what's weird about it. It's like, here's the movie. Here's our early version, like prototype from 1989. And here's the real one that's from 2019. And, like experience this one and then experience that one. And it's like, here's nostalgia and here's the new age cutting edge right next door to each other.
One day only DVC and Star Wars hotel guests will get Galaxy's Edge and the rest of us will get Star Tours. We'll have windows, like floor to ceiling windows. We can look in like Ralphie in A Christmas Story. Look at the toys.
Hey, man. Maybe
Galaxy's Edge.
Maybe someone won't be able to figure out the Millennium Falcon ride, so they just want to do something they don't have to do extra work on.
That's true. I do like C-3PO as the pilot. Yeah. It's fun.
It's still a fun ride. I would.
Yeah. I think it'll last 5 years, but I bet you they retheme it. I see it happening. I see it being rethemed. I don't see it getting swallowed up by a larger Star Wars land because it doesn't fit into the new age Morocco looking land. This spaceport is too futuristic for this, Cars Land-esque highway got moved and now it's no man's land place for rebels and scum. I just don't see this fancy spaceport fitting in anymore.
They're going to expand Indiana Jones. We're going to get a ride.
Yeah, see, I think Echo Lake could be Indiana Jones land, and then half this park is just Lucasfilm.
I'd be okay with it. Even though I don't really want the Muppets to go, I'd still be okay with it if that's what we had to lose and for a whole thing to come out.
How about we make Muppets Howard the Duck 3D?
There we go. Okay with that.
That's totally family-friendly, too.
Is American Graffiti Lucasfilm or is that pre-Lucasfilm distribution? So I guess the last one would be the Red Tails. Oh. Red Tails Commissary. We fixed the whole park. Yeah, Monsters Inc. on the right, then Lucas. So it's Pixar on the right and Lucasfilm on the left. And for some reason, we keep the Primetime Cafe and the Sci-Fi Dine-In because they're good.
Good, I'm with that too.
I'm with that. Yeah, I'm good. I like the old Hollywood theming too. Like when you
first and Mickey Mouse in the middle because I don't know why they did that.
Just because it's Mickey and we need a Mickey ride. That's our excuse.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you keep the old Hollywood entry all the way to the Chinese Theater, and it's like technically now it's still a Hollywood park.
Adventure.
Welcome to Hollywood Adventure. All right, that's a good place to end it. Those of you who haven't heard yet, we have an exclusive podcast for Patreon members only, patreon.com/themeparkstop, and we'll be uploading all new episodes with crazy interviews, and at one point we're gonna read the whole spiel for the Jungle Cruise, and we have the original script from when I worked there, and it has every alternative joke. We're gonna read every joke whether you like it or not.
Oh man, she's gotta scan it all for me to read too.
It is like there's like 5 or 10 jokes for every scene, and usually they only give you 1 or 2, so we're gonna go through all of them.
Oh boy.
So you can check that out. Well, I don't know when that'll be up, but it'll be up soon. For as little as $1 a month, you can join patreon.com/themeparkstop. Derek, thank you so much for being here. Where can everyone find you?
I'm on another podcast, the E-Ticket Report, which also has a bunch of unfunny jokes said by Tim Grassi. So if they like your Jungle Cruise feeling, they can head on to that. On the iTunes machine, you can follow me on social media at my name, Derek Bergen, DerekBurgan. And every week, I'm on the touringplans.com blog with the Saturday Six, and every month with an Outlet Report. And again, I'm the leading blogger on the Margaritaville Water Park. And don't forget Selfie Stick Falls coming this summer, and we're all going to have an exciting social media time.
Selfie stick. So hey, you can't actually bring a selfie stick on the ride. That's the ironic part.
Encouraged. Oh my
God. Hey, leave the bad jokes to me, too. That's kind of my thing.
And for anyone out there, the Saturday Six is required reading. It is always good. Mm-hmm. I love how sometimes it's very serious and really informative, and sometimes it is the funniest thing you'll read all week. It's a perfect mix. So, yeah, that's at touringplans.com every Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Well deserved. Good stuff.
Yeah, go support Derek.
And not just because you put my name in it every once in a while.
Bribery works.
That's right.
They're not bringing Jaws back.
What? Go to Japan. Where they have a dog restaurant.
No. Send me to Japan.
Yeah, I forgot. That's still open, isn't it? Yeah, go to Japan before Nintendo expands in a few years. Because it's right there and they ain't going the other way. That's where the Wizarding World is.
I got to go make a GoFundMe. Hold on a sec.
Okay. All right. See y'all later.
Bye, guys.
See ya.